I know that there's some special calls that the Lord gives. He calls pastors and preachers out, gives them a special call. And other special calls to be missionaries and full-time workers in the Lord's work. And many of those are full-time workers and they have bivocational jobs. But they're full-time in the Lord's work. But God has called every one of us to a ministry. He has a plan for your life and for my life to build the kingdom. And in order for me and you to be involved in that, then I think that we have to meet the criteria that the Bible lays out for us to walk a walk that is worthy of the Lord. And so in order to be involved in that, many times we have to walk away from our past. And the Bible calls that repentance. It's when we turn away from, it's a change of mind. Now, hang on here. What does it mean to have your mind changed? Well, you know, I was going to go to Harrison and now I've decided to go to Berryville. No. No, it's much, much deeper than that. It is a change of mind. Are you hearing me today? It is a change of mind. Repentance is having your mind changed. It is a change of mind. Brother Matt and I was talking about this the other day, and we might understand that better to say it is a change of heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so your thinking is changed in accordance to your heart. And so for you and I to get in on this call, then we must repent of our sin and turn to Jesus and accept Him as our Savior. Repent of an old way of life and come into a new way of life. The Bible calls it new birth. In John's Gospel, 3rd chapter, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, you must be born again because you must be born again. And so for you and I to get in on God's plan for our life, His future for us, His call in our life, then that must take place first. I told someone this week that God is not interested in dragging us around in a mud hole, but his purpose is to lift us up out of the mud hole. You get that picture in your mind? He's not doing that. He is not going to do that. He lifts us up out of the miry pit, the horrible pit, and He sets our feet upon a rock, and He establishes our going, and He puts a new song in our mouth. And so with that kind of for a background, let's take the Bible and look at Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, when God calls Peter. And this is most fascinating call. When we bring it home, when we bring it down to our own call in our life. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And it came to pass. When you read this story, I mean, it is just so good. The Lord is, He's not setting up a bunch of rules and regulations for, as if we were, if we step out of line, He's going to squish us, but He is just right there with us. He is walking the walk with us. He that is in you, He's in you. if you know Him as Savior, and He's walking the walk with you. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want you to get that picture in your mind. Are you there? Are you there on the shore of Gennesaret? And you're seeing these boats that are tied up there next to the bank. And the fishermen have gotten their nets out here, and they've spread them out, and they're getting all the sticks and the debris and everything out of the nets, getting ready for the next day. They didn't do any good that night. They didn't catch anything. And He entered into one of the ships. Now pay close attention. He entered into one of the ships, the boats. These were fishing boats, bigger than a John boat, big enough for men to make their living out of and to bring in the fish. And the ship belonged to a certain individual. Now pay attention. It was Simon's. Now, Simon was there next to the ship, obviously. Watch what he does. And he asked him. He said, talk to Simon personally, individually. He was there by his boat, and he begins to talk to him. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, push out a little from the bank, from the land. And he sat down in the boat, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, when he got through with the message, with the sermon, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Let down your net. You cleaned it all up so it's ready to go. Take your net, push out into the deep water, let down your net for a catch. All right, I hope we're catching hold of this today. And Simon, answering, said unto him, I've been in this business a long time. I know about fishing. Matter of fact, these boats are me and my partner's business. These nets, I was brought up in this. I've been trained from a child about cleaning the nets and catching fish. I've fished more than anyone else in this village. I am a fisherman. You are a carpenter. I am a fisherman. But there's something about you that has caught my attention. I am drawn to you. Something is going on in here every time I hear you speak. It is like there is a cord and I'm hooked to it and you're pulling me into yourself. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I know all about fishing. We've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. We've done this stuff on our own. We've done everything that you do in fishing. But we come up empty. We're empty. We're empty. Life is empty for us. There's no payday. There's no rejoicing. There's no dancing on the banks because of the catch. We have come up empty. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. This is not good business. It doesn't make any sense. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled the ships, so that they began to sink. Those of you that have been in a boat, you know what took place there. They filled it to the brim. They filled it to a place that it was about to take in water because it sat so low in the water because of the weight of the fish. When Simon Peter saw it, now catch hold of where Simon is here. And we're going to bring you up to date here in just a little bit of his previous times with the Lord. But Simon saw it. He saw it. He actually comprehended what was going on. He realized this is not normal. Something. There is something here. It's not church as usual. There is something here. And he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was, there's that word, begging, astonished. And all that were with him, at the catch, the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These old boys of thunder, Jesus called them, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not." That's real important. Fear not. From here on out, you're going to catch men. From here on out, life is going to be different. You're going to catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, now we don't want to read that next part. It's too much. We don't read this. We want to keep doing what we're doing. We don't want to change anything. They forsook all and followed him. You may be seated. If you read the rest of the story, you discover that from then on out, life was very pleasant for them. Smooth water, smooth sailing. No problems. Everything just handed to them. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Just name it and claim it. Anything you want, anything you need. You got it. Does that sound like the truth to you? Well, it's a bald-faced lie. They came to a place. Matter of fact, they all died. They all were killed. John, he ends up on Patmos. Now, here's how to give an invitation for folks to accept the Lord. It is not going to be easy. It is going to be rough water. But here's the promise. Jesus said, I will be with you. I'll be with you. You know, there is just something about being in the boat and seeing the one you are following coming to you in the midst of the storm, walking on the water, that causes you not to be afraid of the future. Now, this was not Peter's first encounter with the Lord. If you just started there in that fifth chapter, you'd think, man, that, you know, what kind of faith was that? I mean, just out, pulled him out there, and he saw those fish, and he followed Jesus. No, he's had some time to think about this. He is running this through his computer. And this is what he's coming up with. Life is short and full of trouble. There's an eternity. There's a heaven and there is a hell. And you and I decide where we're going to spend eternity at. So Peter has run this through his machinery up here. And he's decided he's worth following. He's worth dying for. He's worth living for. He's worth giving all that I have to follow him. In John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, turn over to the first chapter of John, and we'll see where Peter first gets a call from the Lord. Now back over in Luke, it's after this. He's still fishing. He's still running the company. John 1 verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Listen to this. Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah. Woo! We have found the Messiah. He has come. He's here. We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We found the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, when Jesus beheld him, he said, your name's Simon, the son of Jonah. We're going to call you Cephas. Your name's been changed. Your personality's been changed. Your heart has been changed. Everything's going to be different from now on. Luke, the fourth chapter, back up. We were in the fifth chapter. Back up to the fourth chapter. That was his first encounter with Jesus. Matter of fact, if you go ahead and read that in John, those disciples started following Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, what do you want? And they said, where do you live at? And he said, come and see. And they went with him, and they spent the night with him. There is something. He draws, he pulls. In Luke 4 and verse 38, here's Peter's second encounter. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, let's see, where am I at? Four? Am I in the right place? Luke 4, verse 38. I'm not. Who said I was in the right place? No one. And he arose out of the synagogue and he entered into whose house? Simon's house. You see, you're very personal to the Lord. Just as Simon was personal to the Lord. Oh, he doesn't know me. Oh, yes, he does. He knows how many hair you have on your head. He knows what you're thinking about right now. He knows what you were thinking about at 6 o'clock in the this morning. He knew what happened to you 10 years ago. He knew the things that you were involved in as you grew up. He knows every single thing that you have ever said or done. He's God. And he loves you beyond anything that you can possibly ever imagine. He loves you and he accepts you like you are. When we sing this song, just as I am, Lord, I come. That's how he wants us to come, just like we are. And he accepts us like we are. He doesn't leave us there. Doesn't leave us in the mire. Picks our feet up out of the mire and he sets them on a rock. He doesn't leave us in the mire. But he accepts us where we are and he loves us beyond anything that we can possibly ever know. And he knows that you'll continue to make mistakes. He knows that you're a long ways from perfect. He knows I'm a long ways from perfect. Matter of fact, he already knows what words are going to come out of my mouth between now and when I die. And he loves me and he accepts me. So here, Peter is, he's been introduced to the Lord. He's been told he's the Messiah. In the fourth chapter in verse 40, or 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. She's sick. And he stood over her. You get this picture? And he stood over her. And he rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. They tried to get him to stay with them. That'd be kind of handy to have somebody like that around, they thought. Now I want us to dig a little deeper here in chapter 5, these first 11 verses. I want to bring something to your attention. First of all, Jesus asked Peter to do something for him. Do you think that Jesus needed Peter to do something for him? Not for one minute. I want to see our young people grow in the nurture and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I want them to start taking over teaching responsibilities. I want them to be workers in camp. I want them to start running Awana. I want them to be singing in the choir. I want one of them up here preaching behind the pulpit and leading the singing, Brother Matt. We're going to have to turn it over to them. But I want you to know that Jesus does not need you. And he doesn't need me. But I need him. I need him. And you need him. And you need him. Jesus asked Peter to do something. Now I want you to notice something else about what he asked him to do. He asked him to do something that was inconvenient. Can you believe it? Let's make church easy for everybody. Let's not ask anybody to do anything that is inconvenient. Just don't ask them to do any jobs. We'll get asking them to do stuff. I tell you what, I can walk in a room and people go running to the other side of the room. Not really. That's because I hadn't bathed in a while. Jesus asked Peter to do something that was inconvenient. We get to thinking that we can't ask folks to do anything. That we can't expect them to be committed. They just barely got enough money to put gas in their car to go to work, and then we ask them to drive all the way over here to Osage to church. Well, big deal! Jesus owns all the gas stations in all the world. And if he needs to, he can fill your tank up anytime he wants to. He's putting you in the place, and he's putting me in the place of Peter. And he said, now, Peter, launch out into the deep. Now, Lord, I don't know about this. I know about fishing. And we've already tried it that way. Well, we never have done it this way before. He asked him to do something that was inconvenient. Give your money. Make preparation. Teach a class. Pick up some kids on a van. Be a listener in Awana. Help set up a tent for one of our events. Carry ice. Give away water. Talk to people as they come in. Tell them about Jesus. Yeah, I don't have a calling like that. We've come to a place of not asking people to do that which is inconvenient for Jesus. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to die on the cross. Is necessary so that you and I'd have eternal life, so that I would have eternal life. In verse 5, Peter says to the Lord, now get in where Peter's at here. He's astonished. I mean, he's overwhelmed. He can't even believe his eyes. He's thinking, good night. This is miraculous. This just doesn't happen this way. And he said, Master, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I just get the expression of Jesus' face when he's talking.
Do you think that Jesus was standing there looking at Peter and saying, oh no, everything you've ever done, you sorry rascal, you?
I get this image of Jesus that he's grinning at Peter. almost laughing at him. Peter said, I'm too sinful. I don't need to be around you, man. I'm a sinful man. He's thinking, he didn't say it out loud, but he's thinking, oh, Peter, you don't even know how bad you are, boy. I know you. I know some of the things you don't even think you're doing wrong. I know. But boy, do I ever have a plan for you. Woo! I have a plan for you that's going to surpass anything in this life you could ever imagine. And then Peter makes a reference to our Lord. Did you see what he called him? Master. 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 This is unique to Luke. It means commander, leader, boss. When Jesus asked Peter to launch out into the deep, this is his second command, by the way, and so far he's following. Are you getting it? First time he said, move your boat out, I'm going to use it. Okay, that's not expecting too much. Yeah, let's push her out here and let you use it for a pulpit. Had you ever noticed that everything that Jesus used, he borrowed? He even borrowed the cross. He wasn't supposed to be... That wasn't his cross. That was Barabbas' cross, wasn't it? Barabbas was supposed to be crucified on that cross. He borrowed a tomb. He borrowed a coin. He borrowed a little boy's sack lunch. He knew stuff he already had. The birds of the air have nests. Foxes have holes, but the Son of God doesn't even have a place to lay his head. That's not what life is about. Where you lay your head in is not where what life is about. So he's asking him, he's giving him a second command. Did you know the Bible says that our life is from faith to faith? Now, what's he asked you to do lately? And you have refused. You found something else. No, I mean, you wouldn't expect me to do that. So here, faith and experience begin to battle. Here's a carpenter tells a seasoned fisherman how to fish. We've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. What about you? Oh, what about me? Well, what about it? I hear these old preachers talking about coming to the end. And then I got to figuring it up. And I thought, at the very best, I'm not going to have a whole lot of time left. I've got a whole lot less than what I started with. And I've got a whole lot more folks over on the other side than I've got here. So, have I fished all night and caught nothing? I mean, if you could take everything that perhaps I have accumulated and pile it up in a pile, what would it amount to? Or if you could take the richest man in America and everything that person has accumulated and pile it up in a pile, what would it amount to? Yeah. In verse 8, when Peter said, I'm too much of a sinner, there was two statements that the Lord made to Peter. Both of them are found in verse 10. And he says, don't be afraid. You see it? Don't be afraid. You know, the devil works in fear in our life. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if it doesn't work? Well, what if there is a big failure? What if there is? Big deal. What is the worst thing that could happen? Don't be afraid, Jesus said. And I want you to know in the scripture many, many times, that's what he says to us. Don't be afraid. Don't allow the devil's intimidation to make you afraid to do what God has called you to do. Well, I'm not qualified. Well, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I've got sin in my life. Well, of course you do. Of course you have. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to, you get this picture, drag you around in the mud hole. He's not going to do that. He's going to lift you up and put your feet on the rock. You know what you need to do to get out of that situation. You know what needs to take place. Why is it you're putting it off? You're not sure you want to be obedient. And so, he said, I'm afraid. And Jesus said, I'll take care of that. Don't fear. So the fear is turned into love. And in verse 10, Jesus says, boy, here is something, Peter, and I think Peter got grabbed full hold of it. From now on, are you hearing me today? From now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to catch men. But if you look it up in the original, it's very interesting. It says you're going to catch them alive. You're going to catch them alive. With all that, with all the imperfections, all the bumps and tore places and all the crazy ideas and attitudes and mixed up stuff and doing things different than you do or I do, you're going to catch them alive. You're going to catch men. You're going to catch men. You're going to catch men. You're going to catch them alive. It's a lifetime of following him and catching men. You see, the Lord didn't send you over to that school to teach school. He sent you over there to catch men. Students, he didn't send you to your particular school to get an education. I hope that comes along. But it's not for an education. It's to catch men. It's to catch men. He put you to working at the place that you're working, wherever that is. He put you there to catch men. To catch men. Catch them alive. Let's stand together.